wonderful show that we had today. I make the boastful claim that I have probably worked on more music television programmes than any other living mortal, but none of those other shows had quite the same goal as this one. Our object has been to feature legends alongside newbies, and importantly, to be a home for music that doesn't have a home elsewhere on television, like folk music, world music, jazz music, European music, the list is endless. The show is sold and broadcast around the world, and many more people see it internationally than they do here in Britain. International guests often tell me they wished they had a programme like this in their own country. It's a unique British export, of which we should all be proud. We have witnessed the birth of new talent before they have become global stars, and captured some of the giants before they have passed away. I hoped that perhaps we've also opened people's minds to enjoying styles of music they haven't listened to before. All of us working on the show try to be the servants of the songs and the music. Surprisingly, this isn't the case with all music on television, which is often thought by programmers not to be interesting enough in its own right, and therefore has to be enlivened by novelty dances with wet kippers or people bursting into tears. When the show started, the only platforms we knew of were ones you caught trains from. We could never have foreseen the explosion of the different music platforms that exist today. The shows in our first series would maybe get less than 1 million viewers. Now, some performances from the shows will have had up to 20 million hits on YouTube. It's wonderful that Mark Cooper has taken the time to put his memories of the show into this book. I'm afraid I cannot verify if any of it is true or not, as I was so busy being lost in all the incredible music. But if even half of what you read here is true, it would be amazing. Despite the changes in technology and society, the timeless ethos of the artists and all the people that work on the show remains the same. These, along with the people that have watched the show over the years, are the people I most want to thank. I look forward to our 100th birthday in 2092. Save the date. Jules Holland, 2022. Chapter 1. Tell It Like It Is. In the Beginning. It is an early October afternoon in 1992, and I am heading down the gantry ladder to the studio floor of TC7, one of the smallest studios at Television Centre and the home of BBC Two's arts and media late-night magazine, The Late Show. New Orleans' Neville Brothers have just given their all in a second rehearsal of their cover of Steve Miller's Fly Like an Eagle from their sixth studio album, Family Groove, and they are now circling the floor impatiently, like factory workers approaching the end of their shift. I go up to Aaron, who has massive forearms, a cross tattooed on his cheek, a prominent mole above his right eye, and a permanently wary look on his face. No matter that I interviewed him for The Guardian while he hefted weights in his garage in East New Orleans when the Daniel Lanois-produced 1989 Yellow Moon album finally made the brothers a commercial proposition just 3 years ago, that I have enjoyed them in full flight on their home turf at Tipitina's and at Jazz Fest, and am a massive fan. Right now, I'm an apologist for the BBC, which is delaying their early evening escape for a flight to Germany, where they are about to launch a tour. The floor manager has done his best to explain why we need another rehearsal, but the Nevilles are already tired, while up in the gallery the director, Janet Fraser-Crook, is chafing at the bit. I mutter apologies to Aaron and plead for just one more take. We are recording for the first later, and Janet is working with a recalcitrant camera crew who aren't quite on her side as she scrabbles to adapt her shooting script to capture the complex blood harmonies of the Nevilles in full flight. Aaron looks through me with the kind of infinite weariness that comes with scoring your first and only major solo hit way back in 1967. When only the Monkees' I'm a Believer kept his Tell It Like It Is on the tiny local label Parlo from Top